It's time for Talking Automotive with VACC. Here's Dennis Walter with Jeff Gwillem, CEO of VACC.
Jeff Gwillem, good evening to you.
Good evening, Dennis. How are you?
Good. Car sales, are they rocketing ahead? I know if Subaru have had some good results.
They have. Look, the market's looking good. We can't really factor in the last 14 days at the moment, Dennis, because we don't know what the numbers are out of that. But if you go May on May from last year to this year, we're up about 63%, which is a great number. However, last year was a disaster. But even if you go back to the year before, 2019, we're still about 10% up, about 8,000 vehicles up for the month, that is. Which means, Dennis, and if you look at car sales as an indicator of confidence in the market, and it really runs parallel with housing. As housing is doing well, cars are generally doing well. We're still sold, you know, 456,000 vehicles. This is the FCAI data I'm using here. Heading towards 500,000 vehicles towards as we go to the middle of the year. They measure cars from January to December. And I think, Dennis, on the trajectory that we're on, if we can stay out of lockdowns, we'll get back over 1 million cars a year, which is back to 2019, even though that wasn't a crash-hot year. You know, we've had slippage in car sales for a while. It does mean that we've got some level of sustainability in the industry with if we can get to over $1 million worth of sales.
That's really important. And a lot of these people, these purchasers, are buying, but then they've got to wait for the delivery of the vehicles because of that computer little bit that's sort of taken a new direction as far as supply, where laptops and whatever are getting computed, that little part that is holding up a lot of vehicles being delivered.
Microprocessors. So, you know, the car market sort of went into reversal 18 months ago. The computer chip companies decided that they would swing their markets and they went into putting more chips and things you use at home. Car market starts to come back online. New arrangements have been struck for the microprocessor chip manufacturers, Japan, Taiwan. However, also, you know, a slowdown in manufacturing out of those plants as well. And before you know it, we've got a real bottleneck where they just can't make enough microprocessors to go into computers, phones, laptops, and cars. The other thing is, Dennis, is that the modern car today has hundreds and hundreds of microprocessors in it, right down to, you know, little lights that come on and windows that go up and down. And, you know, you can take some of them out. And actually, some manufacturers have done that. They've advised their customers that, look, these five things aren't going to work. They're not safety critical things. But, you know, and they can refit some of those. But some of them you can't. They're part of the build of the car in the production process. So we would expect to see that improve in the last quarter of this year. But we know that there are, waiting periods for cars. Again, you know, we've sold nearly 500,000 cars. You know, the funny thing is, though, Dennis, there's two things I wanted to mention tonight because I'm perplexed by both of them, really. Half of those cars, were actually over 50% of all passenger vehicles sold, are SUVs. And the top-selling vehicles sold, you know, are still Toyota Hilux, Ford Ranger, Toyota RAV4, Toyota Land Cruiser. Now, you know, Toyota itself has got over 20% of the car market, the total car market in Australia. But these cars, there's a building being built at the back of our building on St Kilda Road, and there were about five of these utes lined up there. And these aren't cheap. You know, we know we've got the instant asset write-off that's been extended by the federal government. That's a great thing for industry. But, you know, we've got this love affair. We've moved out, Dennis, out of that, the big V8. Into the big V8 ute, twin cab ute. And here's a question. I'd be fascinated at what the listeners think of this as well. We can transition from passenger cars because passenger cars look similar and they're effectively the same size. But are the listeners, Dennis, that will drive an electric equivalent of a Toyota Hilux or a Toyota RAV4, big dual cab utes, will people drive those in the electric format?
That's a very good question. Let's put it out there. 96900693 or 131332. Just ahead of the break, prestige cars, are they still selling? And are car sales perhaps still looking really strong because of the benefit of buying something before the end of the financial year?
Look, I think you're 100% correct there. We still sold 61 Aston Martins, 65 Lamborghinis, and 226 Maseratis in Australia. That's halfway through the year. There's some serious money still in that market. Now, some of these cars were ordered a while ago, or they've been waiting for them to be able to order them. But we've got, Dennis, a very strong flow there of people still feeling very confident about the market. But I have to tell you, Dennis, I couldn't help myself. You know, when you talk about Aston Martin, I thought, well, I'll go online. And first of all, I looked at an Aston Martin Vantage, the new one, $299,000, a bit expensive. But, you know, you go and get a 2007 Aston Martin, a V8, $89,000, 60,000 kilometres on the clock. Beautiful car. I mean, who's got that sort of money to throw at a car? But when you look at those prestige, older vehicles, very low mileage, you can still do it. However, I'm not one of the people that bought a brand new Maserati.
No. But we can all dream. Back after the break with Jeff Gwillim from the VACC, CEO of the VACC. 96900 693 1313 32. Anything to do with your motoring experience day by day, week by week, Jeff is here to answer your calls next.
You're listening to Dennis Walter on Nice on 3AW 693.
Jeff Gwillim is with me from the VACC. Liz has emailed just to let us know the wind is absolutely howling at Red Hill South tonight. Very scary, huddled under the covers with my little Westie Skipper. Jeff Gwillim is with me, VACC CEO, 96900 693. Angie has emailed as well, Jeff. Is it true your car registration relies on the price relies on where you live? I wouldn't have thought that was right. I was asked by Vic Roads my postcode, and they said your rego will cost $779. Angie wonders whether if she lived in a less salubrious suburb, whether her rego would be cheaper. I would have thought it depends on the vehicle.
The only thing it may vary, Dennis, and I don't know 100%, would be the insurance component of it, given that it generally insurers, there are different, if you go to a general insurer to insure your car, it will be different based on the suburb that you live in and the vehicle thefts in that suburb. That's one of the things that moves it along. But I didn't think that related to vehicle registration, even though a large part of your vehicle registration bundled up is insurance. But that's the party insurance. So I'm surprised at that. I don't think that's the case, but I know it is with... It's just if you go for comprehensive insurance, then they will vary that depending on the likelihood your vehicle is going to get stolen or damaged in the suburb you're in.
I had a mate stop me today. I was down at my local shopping centre, and he said, I've heard you with Jeff Gwillim on the radio on a Monday night. And he was asking, he's just about to buy a diesel vehicle and wonders what the future of diesel is. And if he does buy one, is he likely to find in 8 or 10 years' time that he, you know, maybe can't get diesel? Or is that just not realistic?
Yeah, he will be able to get diesel and you will be able to get petrol. I think over time, as the government bring in and it's legislated now road user charging for electric vehicles, they will at some point, in my view, disincentivise petrol and diesel. I think it's a long way off, and even if they did that, it would be stepped over a period of time. So if you're going to buy, my view would be, if you're going to buy a diesel vehicle, I would intend to keep it for a while, but I don't. That legislation, at the moment, road user charging only relates to plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles. Okay. It doesn't relate to diesel or petrol.
Okay, a quickie. Ron, good evening. Ron, go ahead.
Cheaper in regional areas.
Sorry, go again.
Registration's cheaper in regional areas, I know, because I live down, moved from Melbourne to regional areas, and it's about $100 cheaper.
Well, there you go, Ron. You must get less cars stolen. That would be the reason it's doing that. Probably related to the insurance as opposed to the, the registration part. That's got an insurance part tucked inside it.
Thank you very much, Ron, for your call. Jeff Gwillim, it's always a pleasure to chat. Keep warm, keep safe this cold week, and hopefully we're heading to better times COVID-wise here in Victoria. Jeff Gwillim is from the VACC, he's the CEO.